Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. Welcome back. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and I'm here today with Jimmy. Jimmy what?
The long-delayed Jimmy Treble.
Jimmy Treble. Boo.
Which also sounds like a great DJ name.
Boo. It actually is pretty good.
Right? Yeah. I like it. That's going to be my new Jimmy Treble from now on.
I'm messing with these audio levels, so this first few minutes might be a little clunky. Yeah. As expected after what? How long of a hiatus did we take?
I don't know. We hibernated for a long time.
Yeah. We've not been very consistent with the podcast. No.
I would love to say that we're going to be more consistent, but I do not like to lie to you people.
Yeah. You know, it's tough to balance. You got a new puppy. You got a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot going on top of work.
I mean, technically you have a wedding coming up too, just further down the line, I guess. Yeah. You got a little more time.
You're definitely ahead of me. Yours is in a month and a half?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Oh, all right. Jimmy, talk about something while I fix my microphone.
6 weeks. Well, I can tell you, I am a little stressed out about the 6 weeks. Let me tell you. I will say this. Doing this podcast after not doing it now for, I don't know, what's it been, 2-3 months? Very easy to jump back in. Oh, this wedding I've been working on every single day, and that is stressful.
Yeah.
I wish we had a video so people could watch you struggle completely with this.
This is something that should have been done much longer.
This is also something that a professional podcast would just cut out.
Right.
But that's not something we do. We give you raw, unfiltered microphone adjusting.
No, I'm trying to fix the microphone so I don't have to speak to the side of you. And here I am, not getting it. It's not sticking to my desk.
So
this thing is fully going to collapse. Oh! Not only it didn't collapse, but now I'm holding an entire microphone arm in my hand.
God. This is a disaster to start. If this is a sign for how the season's going to go, it's going to be a long one.
It can only go up from here, though, as a positive.
This is true.
I think I'm in the process of figuring this out. But anyways, Jimmy, lots going on. We're sorry that we haven't been doing the podcast. And I'm excited to be here, excited to be back. And in person, too, not just over Zoom.
That's true. And I really have missed it. Can I say that? How much I've missed doing it? And it feels great to be here. And I mean, great start with the microphone falling apart. So it feels like things are just back to the way they've always been.
Usually when people take breaks, they recuperate a little bit and they get a new revived spirit for what they're doing. And here I am, didn't prepare at all and fucking with my microphone.
Yes. I mean, it's very fitting.
Yeah.
We come back with the exact same...
Keep that same energy.
Energy we've always had. So if you know anything, we may have been gone, but we have not changed.
No, definitely not. We've actually gotten significantly worse. I don't know how to use the podcast software anymore, which is just GarageBand. I'm holding my microphone when I have a microphone stand at my disposal. It's not functioning. But anyways, Jimmy, your Jimmy Treble. We haven't recorded since Manchester City won the treble.
Yes.
And Arsenal... Actually, I don't remember what happened last season. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, there's no need. I mean, I went off on a Jack Grealish level bender. I've just come back, and I'm happy to be here. I won't gloat because I do feel empathy for you. Though I will say, having spent more time on Twitter or X, as it's called now, I feel less sympathy for you just because the Arsenal fans are an annoying bunch of people. Dear Lord, can they be relentless
on
Twitter.
That goes for any group.
I think we've said this, like every fan base is annoying. It's just now they're so much louder.
Coming out of hibernation.
Yes. So I will say I felt less bad, but at the time I felt bad for you. So I didn't miss that we didn't necessarily have to rub that in when it was fresh.
Yeah. I didn't have the spirit to be podcasting after that for a long time. But I'm back. You know, I'm a Community Shield winner, more than you could say.
Yes.
Not quite the start to the season that you would want, the start that I would want, though. Leandro Trossard, one of the most incredible goals I've ever seen to seal a tie. That was the funniest goal I've ever seen.
Can I say, so this is actually something I want to talk about specifically, and I need to say it here. I think these new rule, the World Cup level stoppage time is a bad idea. These players already play so many friggin' games. That game, what does it ended up being? What, like 10 or 11 minutes added on? Yeah. If you keep adding that up, they're going to essentially be playing, what, 4, 5, 6 extra games on a season by the time we're done here. And it's, I just think that's really, I think we're going to see more injuries now. I just think we're going to run into issues, specifically with teams that don't have a lot of like squad depth. This is going to cause some issues, I think, personally. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I will say, though, in the case of that game, I forget what happened, but someone went down for like 4 minutes in stoppage time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were within their original 8 minutes, I think, when the goal was scored. But just to the point of it's a lot to play an extra, you know, probably going to be another 7, 8 minutes every single game now. I think it just, you know, they want drama. It's going to add to the drama. And I think that's at the crux of it. I don't think they're really concerned for player safety or well-being at this point. I mean, we play a million games in the span of, I don't know, 8 months, and it just keeps becoming more and more. So yeah, depth is going to be a real important factor. I mean, as it is every year, but I think now more than ever, especially after a year with the World Cup in the middle of the season, they just keep adding more.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been a great enjoyment for you, though, for the first game that we get to roll this out in the 100th minute, we get a just own goal. Just
awful.
Terrible awful deflection, goal. Own goal. Like, oh, God.
It was, I mean, we don't want to talk too much about the Community Shield, but I will say I enjoyed the victory. I thought both teams really wanted to win it. You could tell that both managers, both sets of players, they were angry when they got scored on. They were celebrating very hard when they, you know, scored. I'm thinking Pep Guardiola was a little bit salty. I saw that interview. It was, oh, Pep, you lost the Community Shield. Now what? You're like, oh, well, actually, we lost the Community Shield 3 times in a row. We won the league 3 times in a row. It's like, okay. Okay.
Spot on, yeah, Pep. I thought he was here.
Yeah.
I was looking around. I was just like, where is he?
Just a little nerd. Like, just shut up, guy. You lost the game. Go on. It's preseason. No one cares except for you. He was very angry, and that made me very happy. We're the new rivalry, Jimmy. Manchester City and Arsenal. How this
apparently
has evolved since we started the podcast.
Yes.
We weren't even, you know, when we played each other, it was only fun for us because we care.
Yes.
And now it's like,
it has come full circle.
Are these the two best teams in the world, Jimmy?
Potentially. I mean, I think that's a bold statement, but honestly, I think you have an argument. I think we will see. I would like to revisit that in about a month when we've seen some league games and we see how the season starts.
Fair enough, Jimmy. So typically for our preview, we go through every single team.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that.
No,
we don't have the time. We don't have the energy of the Young Mostly Soccer podcast. We're in our golden years.
Yeah. Golden years. Great.
So where should we start, Jimmy? We've had a summer of transfers. I don't even know.
Maybe that's a good place to start. I do want to say this will be aged after like 5 minutes after this is done.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a quick prediction. Does Harry Kane actually leave? Does he, like, apparently the news today is that Tottenham have accepted the bid from Bayern.
Right.
And now it's on to Sir Harry to make his decision.
I think if this was a month ago, the answer would have been yes, like resounding yes. I think now, probably not. I think Harry Kane is so English that he can't do it. He can't go and play in Germany. He's way too English for that.
You know, I kind of lean the same way, but I have an interesting feeling on this because I think if he stays, that there's a good chance that he would then leave next year on a free to United? Because I've had the Harry Kane to United thing for like ever since City moved on from Kane. I've had it. He's going to United. He's going to United. He's going to United. And I feel like if that happens and I'm Spur, and like if he thinks he's staying to be like, I'm a good you know what I mean? I'm a good servant to the club. And he stays and then leaves to stay in England to play for another team, cost them 100 million plus. Like at that point, I think that they'll be burning his jerseys. So like, I really question if he stays and doesn't renew his contract like within the next month. I think that this is a big mistake on his part, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mistake for him not to move in general. Harry Kane is such an incredible player and deserves to be on a winning team, deserves to be in the Champions League. If he goes to Bayern, he's going to score over 30 goals a season, like guaranteed. I mean, that's the only reason why they're willing to pay $100 million for what, a 31-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a crazy fee, but because you almost certainly know what you're going to get from him, it's really not. But I have a feeling he's going to stay and it's going to be the wrong decision for him and Tottenham.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I do think he should go. I think for Bayern, it's a great signing if they can get him. And to be added with the other additions they've already made, I really think that they would be a real force to be reckoned with this year. After they kind of had a very embarrassing and very lucky end to the season last mm-hmm. year.
So. Yeah. I fully agree. I think my stance on this has been it feels incredibly dumb for Spurs not to let him go after all he's done for the club. But now it seems like they finally got an offer they can agree on, and Harry's getting cold feet. So we shall see. Hopefully we'll be figured out soon. I mean, the rumor was that Harry wanted to have it completed one way or the other before the season started. Mm-hmm. So he has 48 hours.
Yeah.
And if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that he stays.
I tend to agree.
But anyways, Jimmy, other big transfers. I'll just start with Arsenal because that's all I know. Declan Rice. If you had told me this 2 years ago, I would have laughed in your face that they were going to sign Declan Rice. It felt like that was such a distant, remote possibility. And now it's Arsenal have that pull again. And extremely excited for Declan Rice. Played well in the Community Shield. Had a little bit of a rough preseason, but obviously being thrown into a brand new team and new system, it's going to take some time, but looks great. Jurrien Timber from Ajax, a player that I am extraordinarily excited about. Truth be told, I did not know anything about him before he came to Arsenal. But I will say, from the small sample size that I've seen, and the small sample size doesn't always give you a great picture, i.e. Pepe. I'm super impressed. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. And David Raya potentially on the move to Arsenal as well. Looks like a loan mm-hmm. with a buy option. And then lastly, I think my favorite signing for Arsenal, Kai Havertz. I'm coming full circle, Jimmy. your face when I said that.
I'm not sold on Kai Havertz. I mean, Kai Havertz also personally has harmed me with his goal in the Champions League final, so I have that against him. But I've also, that goal aside, I have never been impressed in any game I've watched him play. He's just someone who I think, what's the phrase, flatters to deceive type of player. And I think that you see the flashes at times and then it's always just missing that really finished product, kind of like we saw in the Community Shield.
Harsh.
I'm just saying, I feel like that kind of is him though. That's, or at least who he's been.
I think it's who he's been with Chelsea a little bit.
Yeah.
And with that being said, he was Chelsea's best player last year.
It's a very low bar.
I agree. But I will say, this is another one. If you had told me a few years back that Arsenal were signing Kai Havertz, mm-hmm. like if they were going to sign him from Bayer Leverkusen, where he originally came from, I mean, I would have been ecstatic. And again, small sample size, but Kai Havertz has been playing center forward for Arsenal. Gives them a new dynamic.
Yeah,
you saw it in the Community Shield. He's 6'4", by the way. Yeah. Who knew Kai Havertz was 6'4"?
Another deceitful thing about him is he does not look like he should be tall.
No, not at all. But he's 6'4". He's a target man. He moves really well. I think he's going to have so many chances to just score like little tap-ins that I would be shocked if he finishes the season with under 12 goals.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. It's a risk worth taking. He's still 24 years old. Mm-hmm. He's very young with tons of experience. And again, we have seen flashes. So there is, you know, there's talent there. It's going to be another example of can he really put it together? I don't know. But I think it's a risk worth taking. I guess my issue with it is I look at this Arsenal team, and this is a team to me that still lacks a true number nine because of the fact that they've, for whatever reason, Balogun is not in their plans very clearly. It doesn't really fit their style of play, so I kind of get that. Mm. But they, to me, they really need that nine. I think their best nine is Jesus, who is
consistently injured.
Consistently injured and inconsistent as a player. When he's on, he's a world class.
Yeah.
But he goes on streaks of being on for a month or two, and then the rest of the season, he's either injured or just not in any form. So it's hard to base, like, for him to be your focal point. And Nketiah is a perfectly decent player, but I don't think you win the league with him as your main nine.
Yeah.
So that's my only thing is if for 60 million, it's probably not enough to get an elite nine, but it gets you damn near close.
I don't know.
Could have got you maybe Vlahovic. Might have been enough of Vlahovic.
Who knows if that guy's good?
That's the thing. Agreed. But my point being, he is more of a true need, I think, for them.
Yeah.
I still think that's a need. And Arsenal spent a shit ton of money. And I think Declan Rice is a world-class player. I do. And I super impressed with what I saw from Timber so far. I think he looks like a great signing. So I think like they've knocked those two out of the park. Kai Havertz, I'm not sold on.
I'm going to tell you, Jimmy, I feel so strongly the other way. I think he's a perfectly fine center forward for what Arsenal do really well. I think when they play with a sole striker, it doesn't really work for them. They work best when people are changing positions. Right, like when Saka moves over to the left and Martinelli goes in the middle, it, in my opinion, works better for them that way. And I think Kai is so versatile that he can drop back, play midfield, he can play the wing a little bit. And I'm excited for him. Like I said, his positioning is what really has impressed me so far. I think he always just finds himself in the right spot. And I think once he starts scoring, if he gets confident, I think he's going to be phenomenal. I'm excited, but yeah. I don't know. I don't want to monopolize the conversation and just talk about Arsenal.
All right. So talking about transfers, then there's one team we have to talk about, which is the team that has bought and sold more players than I've ever remembered. Maybe Forest last year, but Chelsea has been it's something. It's very interesting. I will say that for me, what would have been probably my prediction for like the best signing of the year now is out the window due to injury, which is Christopher Nkunku, who I think is... I watched this man tear City apart multiple times in the Champions League. He's a phenomenal player. Kind of that in-between Thomas Muller-esque, but just while being an excellent finisher at the same time and has a great deal of pace and... I'm a huge fan of his. I think he still will be a great signing, but obviously it's going to take some time now because he could be out up to 4 months, I think. But Chelsea have made a lot of signings. They brought in Disasi from Monaco, Nicholas Jackson, who actually had quite a good preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Sanchez, which is the one I wanted to talk about, because you brought up Raya going to Arsenal. Which is interesting to me, especially could be maybe potentially
Ramsdale
a
needs competition.
So
I love Aaron Ramsdale. I think he has a lot of room to improve. I think he's one of the best shot stoppers in the league. But aside from that, he does not instill me with confidence otherwise.
Do you think Raya wins a job?
Because
he seemed very set on going to Arsenal and he had been linked to both Chelsea and Spurs where he would have been the starter, presumed.
I think it's a possibility. I think that's a real toss-up.
So that's why I really do want to bring up Robert Sanchez, because obviously it's someone who really kind of lost his job at Brighton for, you know, the back half of last season. Now he goes to Chelsea and essentially the presumed starter at this point.
I don't know. I feel like Kepa is still
maybe
in the starting position there.
Kepa is Real Madrid's new number one.
Is that the rumor now?
That is the rumor. Well, you know, Thibaut Courtois tore his ACL.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or Achilles or something. So it's supposedly the Kepa or David De Gea.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, De Gea seems like it would make the most. They don't have to pay.
He's a free. 5-6 years ago, they were dying to get him. So, yeah. I mean, a lot has changed. The game has changed a lot since then, too. But
I think De Gea would be perfectly fine
to carry them through. I mean, it's not like they need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense personally. I'd be surprised if it's not De Gea, unless Keylor Navas is the other one I think of too. I mean, just, you know, he performed really, really well at Madrid.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, Sanchez, I don't know. I mean, what'd they get him for? 20, 25?
25, yeah.
That's not terrible for a Premier League proven goalkeeper. I think he's a backup, though. I don't think they plan to lose.
I think he's going to be the starter. I don't know. I just think he is. I feel like you don't bring him in for that amount. I mean, it's not that much, granted.
That's pretty cheap. I mean, by the way, this summer, the prices have been outlandish. Yeah. Every year, it just gets more outlandish.
Yeah. The weirdest thing, this is the thing of this summer. I felt like people were either extremely expensive, but there were also a lot of, like, good, reasonable deals that got done where it seemed like there should have been a bunch of competition and there wasn't. And that was one of the other transfers I wanted to bring up, to shift gears, of the James Maddison transfer to Spurs for $40
million. Yeah.
Seems like a very good deal.
Definitely. I mean, I think we both rate James Maddison pretty highly, but I feel like teams don't really anymore.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, is like, he's still 26. Like, he's not old. It was just last year or the year before where we were talking 70 for Arsenal trying to get him somewhere around that ballpark. And I mean, I just feel like that was a transfer where there should have been more interest. And that's where, like, I feel like there were some weird transfers this year where it seemed like deals were done. The Jude Bellingham to Real Madrid, where Jude Bellingham was going to be $200 million. All of a sudden, it's $100 million and it's a done deal.
Right.
Which that just seems kind of, you know. Those are those deals that are made 8 months ago and all of that. That's kind of behind the scenes, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, I think the weirdest transfer rumor of all those happening right now is the Lucas Paqueta to Manchester City for they bid $100 million for Paqueta and they didn't bid that for Declan Rice. Are you nuts?
So I have mixed feelings on this. I think he's a very, very good player.
$40 million.
See, I think he's more than 40. I think he's probably a 50 to 60 million pound player. I think he, because I when you watch him play, he would actually be a very good replacement from the Gundogan role, which I think people assume that Kovacic is that. But I think City's intention was to bring Kovacic in and keep Gundogan. So I think Paqueta would be more to fill that Gundogan role, be a midfielder who can carry the ball, has the ability to score, can pick out a great pass. I think he's a very, very good player. I do think it's extremely expensive, and it doesn't seem like a City move. That's the weird thing of it. City have been, I know they spend a shit ton of money, but they're very, like, conscious about how they spend their money. They usually aren't going and buying one player for $100 million. Besides Jack Grealish, they've never done it. I know they got close with the other signing we'll talk about in a minute, but they usually are more in the 50 to 60 million range, buying younger players that they then can recoup that money when they sell them. You know, i.e. like a Leroy Sané, Sterling, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't get it. It feels like this has been a very odd summer for Manchester City. I mean, the signings were Kovacic and Gvardiol, who seemed, I mean, that's going to be an incredible signing. But other than that, I mean, I feel like they have gotten weaker. They've lost Gundogan, who is arguably their best player last year.
Mm-hmm.
Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah.
And who else have they
Well,
lost?
They're going to lose Laporte, and they're going to lose Cancelo. Both of them are going to go. Like,
yeah.
I think it's pretty clear. They lost a lot of young players, but those were ones like, and they sold them for good money. I mean, they sold Charles and Trafford for like, I don't know, what would it end up being, like £35 million between them. Like, great money for players who have never even played for the first team, which is crazy. But City have been able to do that just because of the level that their academy is at this point. They also sold Borges to Ajax for, I think, over $15 million. So, like, they've been able to make a lot of money already. Obviously, losing Gundogan is the one, is a crushing one. Mahrez is a big loss just because they don't have a replacement for him on the roster. And I don't think that they've necessarily done a great job finding. I don't think there is a clean replacement out there. I think a lot of like the wingers that are available are probably not City level. Mm-hmm. I don't think personally, and I think anyone who would be is probably not moving this year. Like we saw Leao re-sign with Milan. Like I think if Mahrez leaves sooner, and that hadn't been done yet, maybe that's a player City would go for. Especially they were linked with him in the past. And other players like that. I just find it hard to... It's been a weird window. I will say, I think Guardiola is essentially the Haaland of defenders in terms of signing.
Oh, wow.
I think, personally, having watched him play a decent amount, I think he, for his age, is a complete package of a defender. Talent-wise, and that's why I say of Haaland, like, he's probably the most talented young defender in terms of the combination of passing, dribbling, speed. Yeah, I know what you're looking at me saying, Saliba.
Saliba's better, but go on.
Those two are probably the best two of their age. Granted, Ruben Diaz is still pretty damn young when you actually look at it, and I would say he's the best defender there is, in my opinion. But I think the potential to put Guardiola with Diaz,
it's crazy, and
then have Stones doing a combination of that midfield where you have three world-class center backs and then you have Ake and Akanji who are excellent as well, especially because City have no fullbacks anymore besides Kyle Walker, who does look like he's staying.
Yeah,
which I think
is a big
re-signing. Keeping Walker and Bernardo, which looks like is going to happen, is big.
Huge.
It did look like they both were going too. And at that point, I was very much concerned. Though I'm still concerned about where City get creativity without De Bruyne on the field, because I think he's not going to play as much this year. He had a lot of injuries last year. Rodri came out today and basically said, I cannot play as many games as I played last year, because he played pretty much every game. And Calvin Phillips is
you hate Calvin Phillips.
I was very excited when they got him. I have yet to see him play one good game for City. Granted, he's not been given many opportunities, but even in the preseason matches where he's not necessarily playing against the starting 11 of teams, he is just so damn slow, like mentally. Like he's not at the level, like City move very, very quickly. You need to really, this was the issue Grealish had the first year where like he wasn't getting it, but then he got it the second year.
Yep.
I'm questioning if Phillips is ever going to get it. And if he doesn't, that is not a role where City can afford that player not to get it. So I think you would see City go to playing maybe even Kovacic in that role, kind of when they did with Gundogan at one point where they played without really defensive, or they're just going to play John Stones there. And John Stones is going to completely move into midfield.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, lots of interesting moves, I think. We're spending a lot of time on Arsenal and City, as we always do. But I will say, both top of the table contenders now at this point. So who else are we going to talk about that's interesting?
That's fair. I mean, we talked about Chelsea. We did talk about Spurs getting... Yeah. I mean, we can talk about United signings, but I really don't think they're like that much...
Holland, the fake Holland?
The fake Holland, yeah. Holland from Wish. And Onana, who...
Weird for all that money.
Very, very good.
You could have got David Raya.
Well, you also could have got Onana for free last year.
I know. No, why didn't anyone do that? Inter.
Inter, great business for Inter. Great business. And then replaced him. Oh, my God. Sommer. Sommer. What a great business again from Inter. So they're doing great. I want to talk about United and say outside of the fake Haaland for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which I can say I have not seen really him play. He could be. I've seen highlights. I get the appeal. I do think his price is inflated based on how much it, where he is from and what it sounds like.
He is Norwegian, has the same name.
No, he's not Norwegian. He's he's
Danish.
Danish.
Or is he
I think he's Danish. But like same ballpark of the world, very similar name, similar build. Like I think his price is very inflated. But outside of that, I will say, obviously the weird Johnny Evans signing, which is hilarious. But I wanted to talk about the Mason Mount one because
yeah,
I think it's oddly a like decent signing. I think $60 million for Mason Mount is actually pretty good business.
It's fair.
I just don't know if he necessarily makes United that much better. I think he adds a lot of depth to their team and he gives them youth because again, they relied on Eriksen a lot last season and Fred.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than both of them at this point in his career, I think. And I think he's an improvement. I just don't know if any of these signings push United to really challenge. Like, are they going to challenge for the title now with these signings? I don't personally think so.
I don't think they're a title team, but I think they're going to be better than they were last year. And they were good last year.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and, you know, it was Mike, and he was saying Newcastle's definitely going to be in top four. And I was like, I really don't think so this year. I don't think they make it. And we can talk about that in a little bit, but I was like, I really think United are going to be third, fourth pretty solidly because I don't think they have the most impressive lineup. I mean, they have all-stars in a lot of areas of the field, but I think they just play people well. Yep. You know what I mean? They're a team that doesn't mind like getting beat up for 80 minutes and then scoring the worst goal you've ever seen and then winning 1-0.
I think that's fair. I will say that the one thing that makes sense, I don't understand why they sold Elanga. Who I actually thought was quite impressive of a player.
I didn't say that to you, and I was like, what is happening? They sold him for like $10 million or something insane like that, too. He's like 19 years old.
Very strange. Had performed, too,
for them. Yep, fantastic.
So that was kind of odd. I didn't really get that. Again, kind of weird. I mean, there's been some weird signings this year, and to just roll into it, and then I think we should get into kind of our prediction on things. But I do want to talk about Liverpool signings because this is another team where I don't really get what they're doing. I guess it really all comes down to they've been linked with two players that could change this. But right now they brought in McAllister for $35 million. Very good signing. Great signing, I think, for that price.
Steal
great.
For that. Yep.
So Basalassi.
So I think it's pronounced not. Just call him Dominic, man. No, it's Sabloza, I think.
This would not be our podcast if I didn't get to make somebody's name something it is absolutely not.
What did you say?
Sabablazi,
yeah. Dominic Sabablazi. I think he's a very... Just got an S. There's no P. Terrible. Oh,
I will
God.
Say, I feel like that was a little bit of an overpay for him. I feel like RB Leipzig flush with cash, like the John Ralphio.
They literally are flush with cash.
They did very good business. Let's just put it that way. But those are two pretty attacking midfielders.
Mm.
Whereas they cleared out all of their holding in defensive midfielders. Jordan Henderson gone. James Milner gone, Naby Keita gone, Oxlade-Chamberlain gone, Fabinho probably gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's official yet.
Well, French Bulldogs can't get into Saudi Arabia is the issue.
I just find it weird. And then Fabio Carvalho, who I actually was quite impressed with when he got to play, loaned out. Didn't really get that because I don't think that they've lost a lot of players. Depth was a problem already last year. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I think he kind of forced his way out. Supposedly, he was actually looking for a permanent move, I think, originally. And they got a loan kind of agreement with Leipzig, which personally, I think he's going to do very well there.
Hmm.
But if they don't bring in, I know they've been linked with Lavia as well as
Caicedo. I mean, either one of those. I don't know much about Lavia, though.
I mean, I know a bit because he's a City youth player. He is very, very good. And anytime I saw him play for Southampton, he is very... He's a very, very good player. I wouldn't call him necessarily a defensive mid. I think he's more of like a box-to-box mid. Extremely, extremely talented, but very young, still somewhat raw. I'd be a little frustrated because City have a buyback clause next year, and it looks like they will not be able to. Southampton going down really screwed that because he's going to get bought. And it looks like whether it's Chelsea has entered in for him now too, because Chelsea signed every single player.
Always.
Tyler Adams today, I guess,
yeah,
too.
And, yep.
But I do think Liverpool need to really strengthen their squad. If they don't get another midfielder, Liverpool always scare me because they just, on the day when they're on their game, when you have players like Salah, like Trent, Van Dijk, when they're on, they can perform. Alisson's still a rocking goal. Like, they can perform. I think that they have a lot of talent on this team, but they have holes. They have, I think, more holes than United have, than Arsenal have, than City have, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think they're a Casiedo signing away from us being terrified of them. I mean, I'm scared of Liverpool too, but I'm like, if they sign that defensive midfielder, then it's like, oh shit, Liverpool are fully back with the vengeance. I don't know. This year, and let's jump into the table, because this year I think is going to be a dogfight. I think City, to win the title 4 years in a row, I think that takes a whole lot. After just winning the treble, I think City got weaker. I think Arsenal have gotten stronger. I think United have gotten stronger. I think Liverpool have gotten stronger. I think Chelsea are going to be very good this year after having an abysmal season last year. Like, I don't know what's going to happen at the top of the table. And then we also have teams like Newcastle, Aston Villa, Brighton, who were phenomenal last year. And then we have the newcomers, Jimmy. We have Sheffield United. We have the Luton Town. Luton Town have made it to the Premier League, which is absurd because when we started this podcast, we had never heard of Luton Town. Yes. They were in the second division. Not the second division. It would be the fourth division of English football. And we only knew of them from our good friend Gavin, who would just inundate us with messages about how great Luton Town were. I was saying, this guy is out of his mind. But they're here. And then we also have Burnley, Vincent Kompany's Burnley. Yes. That makes me feel so weird. It makes me feel old.
Yeah, I know. It is weird. It's definitely weird. It makes me feel weird. Also, City play them tomorrow.
I know.
Which, it's like, I don't want to play Burnley. I really don't want to. And I also now don't like that I like Burnley now. I guess Sean Dyche is gone, so I can like Burnley now.
Different team.
And they play very differently. They were very attacking in the championship. The Kompany played amazing. Very excited for him. Very excited to see how he does now with this team. I mean, Sheffield United are back every other year. This is like, they're the definition of a yo-yo team now. It's like, this is what we do. I'm excited to see Luton Town. I'm excited to see their grounds, which were made a lot of hoopla over that. So I am excited by it. I really am. I'm excited. I will be say I'm excited to hear your predictions of who's going down, because I got some maybe spicy takes.
Ooh, I like spicy takes, Jimmy. So where do we want to start? Do you want to start there? I mean, truthfully, I haven't put any thought into who's going down.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll start. Well, actually, we talk so transfers. Can we just give you best transfer? Who's your best signing?
Best signing. If you have one, I want you to go.
Well, it was going to be Nkunku, but that's out the window. So I am actually going to pick Timber. Ooh. I was very, very impressed with everything I saw from him. And I, for whatever reason, caught a lot of Arsenal's preseason. And I think they needed help in defense, especially we saw what happened when Saliba was out at the end of the season. I think he's very versatile. I think he can play both at center back and at fullback. Also could potentially play in midfield a little bit as well. Yeah. Yep. Maybe a little bit of that John Stones role, which gives some versatility to Arsenal. So that's my pick.
It's hard. I mean, I don't want to pick an Arsenal player too, but obviously I want to go bold and say Kai Havertz. I think Kai Havertz is going to shock a lot of people. I'm also trying to think of what other teams have done. I can't think of a team that has made bigger splashes than Arsenal this year in terms of big name signings. I got to go Kai Havertz. I think it's a risky pick, but I think it's going to pay off. Also, I know you don't like it. We didn't talk about it, but what do you think about Tonali to Newcastle? Do you think that's going to work out for them?
So I like it. I think it's a very good signing. I don't, my thing is, I think he's a very good player. I don't know if he's like the type of signing that necessarily makes them so much better. I think he's a great player. I think it's a great signing. I just don't think he's like somebody who'd be like, okay, well now Newcastle are going to challenge for the league. Like I don't see it as that type of signing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think like Holland. Is it just Holland? Fake Holland, I don't think is going to be
fake Holland.
Incredible. I think he's going to do well, but I don't know that he'll be incredible. I'm just trying to not be so biased, but it's very difficult for me. You just got
to. Like Diaby and Pau Torres to Villa. Yeah. I like both of those signings. I think they're very good, and we also have to remember that they're going to have Carlos back this season after he missed the entire season last year, tearing his ACL the first game.
Someone else just tore their ACL for Villa today.
Oh, really? Oh, Buendia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough loss for them, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going Kai.
All right, that's good. I will give you a potential one. If he stays in the Premier League and someone signs Aymeric Laporte, because I think it's rumored it's like kind of only be like 30 million to get him is really all City want. If somebody gets him for 30 million, I think that's a complete steal. I think people forget how good he is.
Yeah.
And like if Arsenal hadn't signed Timber, I wouldn't have been surprised if they were trying to get him. Villa were linked with him before they got Torres. I don't think they would get him now, but like Spurs or someone, I wouldn't be surprised if they come in trying to get him, and I think it would be a great signing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we did best transfer. All right, let's go to the fun stuff. Let's do relegation, Jimmy. And you must know who I'm putting at 20.
I don't. Who is it?
It's got to be Luton Town.
That's why. Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm sorry, Gavin.
It's sad. I have a Luton Town jersey.
I forgot you do have a Luton Town jersey.
Out of respect. But there's got to be no way that they finish above 20th, right? I mean, I don't see it.
I don't see it either, honestly. I think I would love to see it. I just can't see it happening. I mean, it's not like they've went and brought in a lot of people that instill me with confidence either. So I just can't see how they possibly stay up. I will say it scares me when the most prominent name I know that you signed is Ross Barkley. I get a little worried.
I do love that. I do love that Ross Barkley is just back. And then you're in agreement?
I'm in agreement.
I mean, 19th feels like it feels lazy to put the teams that just came up back there. But it feels like Sheffield United.
So I don't. I actually have. This is a team I think I'm dead set on they're going down is Wolves.
Oh, that's a good shout.
I think Wolves would toast. Lopetegui gone.
Bizarre.
Not bizarre because they've very clearly just not backed him to get any signings. And he lost his best player and then lost, granted, it's been a while since he's been good, but lost Raul Jimenez as well.
Neves gone.
Yeah, well, as I said, the best player, Neves. Like that team was pretty bad at times last year. I think they're toast. I think they're down.
That's a good shout. That's a very good one. All right, so that's your 19th.
Yeah.
Last place. West Ham need to sign someone, right?
West Ham have signed players, though. That's the thing. I don't think you've been paying attention. I think they've got people. Because you text me this. And I'm like, they're getting James Ward-Prowse.
They're getting him. They haven't signed him yet, though.
Not officially. They got Alvarez from Ajax. Like, I think they're not that bad. They're not going. I don't think they're going down. This could look back on this and I could look like an idiot. But I don't think they're going down. You're right, though. I think right now Alvarez is the only one they've officially signed.
Yeah.
But
they're supposedly going to get Harry Maguire. Is that a good signing? I don't know. Probably not. And Ward-Prowse,
Here's what I'll say about Harry Maguire. Harry Maguire is a Premier League quality center back.
As is Rob Holding.
Yes. But my point being, should he be the captain of England or Manchester United? Absolutely not. No. Is he good enough to be a starting center back in the Premier League? Yes, he is. There's a reason he went for 80 million at one point. He's not a bad player. Like, I think it's funny. It's, you know, he's not terrible. I think honestly for 20 to 30 million, I think is what's been liquid. Not a
fair.
It seems a little high even still, again, because he's an England international. So that's why. But like, I think it's actually a pretty decent move for West Ham. And I actually think James Ward-Prowse is a great signing. So I like him.
This is a tough one. I think Burnley will stay up. I think Fulham were phenomenal last year. I know they lost Mitrovic though, and I don't know that they've made any moves. I guess they signed the center back from Ajax, but I guess I'm gonna stick with my gut and I'm gonna go West Ham. It's probably not gonna happen. They're probably gonna finish somewhere mid table, but I'm going West Ham. Well,
I have another one like yours. So I don't have Sheffield or Burnley going down. I have Wolves already with Luton.
Can I guess?
Can you? Yes.
Is it Everton?
It is Everton.
I don't think so. Sean Dyche doesn't.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. Sean Dyche generally doesn't go down. But also outside of those like one or maybe two miracle years with Burnley, he also usually is around that area.
Oh, yeah.
They have not. Outside of Danjuma, they've really not brought anybody in. I know that they're
rumored
trying.
Ginotto,
yes,
from Leeds, who was great last year.
Yes, and I think will be a very good signing. Mm-hmm. But they've also, like, they were not impressive last year. Let's be very clear.
Hey, you forgot they signed Ashley Young, man.
Oh, yeah, Ashley Young. Ashley Young is 100 years old.
He really
is. 100 years old. I don't know how he's still playing, but they lost players, too. I mean, Townsend, Yerry Mina, like, not great players, or Tom Davies, like not great players, but like squad depth players that played both of them, specifically Mina played most of their games,
stuff for better or worse,
and they have not replaced him.
Yeah,
I think Connor Cody went back to Wolves. I don't think they signed him permanently. Like, I don't think that they've gotten any better. I don't know if they've necessarily got worse, but they were lingering around there. I think they will linger around there again, and I'm going to say I think it ends up being this might be the time it happens.
All right. Well, I'm kind of rooting for them to go down, to be honest. Any team that's led by Sean Dyche, I have an adverse reaction to. I like your picks better than I like mine, to be honest. You put a lot more thought into yours. I was just shooting from the hip. Except for Luton Town, I have a bad feeling that Luton Town are not going to win many games at all this year. But who knows, when you play in their little stadium with 20,000 fans surrounded by people living in their homes, just having a normal day, who knows what could happen.
Sounds so disrespectful. Their little stadium. People living in their
homes. Yeah, people are going to think I don't like Luton Town. I'm going to be rooting for them all year. All right. Top of the table, Jimmy. Starting from number, where do you want to go? Do you want to start as low as six?
You want to start six? Okay, let's start at six. Because this is tough for me. Because I have my top four. My six.
Arguably, these Europa League spots are getting more interesting.
Yes. Because I think you could argue for like eight or nine teams that have the potential to be in there. And I am going to say, this is so
starting
hard.
At number six. Would you like me to go first?
Yes, go first.
Newcastle.
Okay.
I think they had an incredible year last year. I don't think they've done enough to sustain. And I think towards the end of last year, they started to falter a little bit. Teams started to figure out a little bit what Newcastle are doing. I think they're still going to be in Europe. I'm rooting for them, but I think they drop out of the Champions League.
Can I say, though, I do like Livermento. Actually, is a lot. I actually think it's a very good signing. I'm a fan of his. So Newcastle's tough for me because I don't think I have them in my top six.
Ooh, see, that's what I mean. I mean, after they finished third last year.
So they're the toss-up between them and Chelsea for me.
Ooh, you don't have Chelsea in your top six.
I do have Chelsea because I don't have Newcastle.
Okay.
So I'm picking Chelsea because I do rate Pochettino. I think he's a very good manager. I think there's a lot of movement, obviously, there. But I really rate Pochettino, and I think he will have a plan. And I think it might take time, but I don't think they're going to be the mess they were last year. And I am a believer in talent usually wins out, and there is a lot of talent there. So I am going to put Chelsea at six. That's my six.
Okay. I don't hate that. I'm putting Chelsea at number five. I think Chelsea are going to be so much better than they were last year. I think Mudryk is going to be... I think he might turn out to be the player that everyone thought he was before he came to the Premier League. I think we saw flashes of it last year in a very bad team. Like, he is electric. He's always kind of in the right spot. I think last year he just couldn't find his feet, couldn't figure out how to finish in certain scenarios. I am sad to say that I think he's going to be excellent. I think Chelsea have the most depth in the world. They just need to find their best starting 11. I think they might have a slow start to the season, but I think they're going to get rolling mid-season, end of the season. I think they'll finish in a European spot, I should say.
So my number five really depends on if he stays. I have Spurs at five, and I think it's just because I'm not going to try to say his name because I've already ruined enough people's name. I really like their manager. From every interview, I'm sold. I'm sold on this guy.
I can't say his name either. Postecoglou.
Postecoglou. Yeah. Like, I've been very impressed with him. I think he's... It's weird to find a likable manager, I think, especially for Spurs. They've been on a run ever since Pochettino left of some really unlikable people with Mourinho and Conte. And I'm a big fan of, like, his approach to how the... At least... From what I've seen, his approach is good. Spurs still have a lot of talent. I think their signings have been weird. I think their goalkeeper situation leaves much to be desired. I think if I'm Spurs fans, I'm kind of looking like, how did we not get Raya? Mm-hmm. How did we let that kind of happen? But in the end, if Harry Kane stays, I expect Son to bounce back a bit this year. And I think they have a manager who's committed, which I don't think...
They haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, since Pochettino left, I really don't think they had it. And yeah. So I think they'll be fifth.
Outside of my Arsenal bias, I will say that I don't think Spurs have done enough to move up their league position. Like, I honestly think Brighton and Aston Villa are just as good as Spurs. Like, Spurs are Harry Kane away from being that level of team, you know, like mid-table. And it feels wrong to say that because they've been so good for so long. But last year they were terrible. Mm-hmm. I think their back line is awful. I think their goalkeeper situation, like you said, leaves much to be desired. I mean, we don't know much about this new guy that they've brought
Vicario.
In. I personally don't know anything about him. Could be great. But, I mean, you're signing players like Mickey Van de Ven. Like, give me a break. I mean, you just look across the street and you see Declan Rice and Kai Havertz and Timber. It's a hard time to be a Spurs fan. I think as Arsenal fans, we went through this the past few years and the situations were reversed. But I don't know. I'm not confident that Spurs will finish in a European place.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It just seems to me that they're better than they were last year, I think. They should just play City every week and they win the league.
Bizarre. Just one of those things.
Maybe that's why I can't see Spurs as bad, because I'm so used to them just kicking the shit out of my team every time we play them. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just frying my brain.
Yeah, could be. All right, number four, I'm going to go Manchester United.
So my four is Liverpool.
So again, we're reversed.
You were reversed. Yeah, we 3 and 4. Yeah, I have United 3. I have Liverpool 4. I think United are a more complete team than Liverpool right now. If Liverpool go and make like Caicedo changes that probably for me. But like right now, I just think I look at United. I think Ten Hag is a good manager. I think we saw that last year. And I think that they're a more complete team than Liverpool are right now.
I don't know. That's a real toss up. I do think that Liverpool are still a better team. I think it's hard to look at one down year after a reign of terror that Liverpool have had. I mean, they've been neck and neck with Manchester City for the past few years, Champions League, Premier League. I mean, they have been incredible. Anfield, the scariest place to play in the world. And I think they're more likely to win the games that they need to win than Manchester United are. Like, Manchester United are the kings of dropping points against bad teams, along with Arsenal, I will say.
Don't you think they need another center back, though? Am I, like, because Konate is fine.
I do like Konate, I think, but he's I feel good. Like he never plays.
He's injured quite a bit. He's good. I think Joe Gomez stinks. Like, I personally
I don't think he's very good either.
I am not a fan of him. I'm really not. I just think that team needs like another strong center back, and I haven't really seen them link to one. So I think they have holes. I think they need. They're another team that really could also use an actual pure striker. Because I question if
give Darwin Nunez some credit.
I think Darwin's very good. I just think he's more of a winger. At least right now, I think he. I don't know. My personal opinion. I think he'd be better on the wing. He's obviously going to probably play as the nine based on the fact that the rest of the players they have, unless Jota's going to play as the nine, because Jota's very good. Another one who has been injured a bit lately.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of the mindset that Liverpool might be challenging for the title again with Arsenal and City. Honestly, I feel like they're that good, and I think they found it last year when they put Trent in that inverted fullback position. And I was like, oh no, they're Liverpool again. And I think they're going to just keep refining that, and it's going to get better and better. And I think they're going to be terrifying again. I'm scared that Liverpool are going to be back.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, they will always be scary for as long as Klopp's there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, the quality of players that they have is unmatched, right? I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, with the hole in the center back. I mean, Konate's a pretty...
Konate's good. He's just... But he's also one person, too.
Right, I know what you mean.
It's like, you need some depth.
They don't have depth.
I don't see the depth that... Yeah, I feel like that team lacks depth.
Yeah.
Which, for a team that's... They should have some depth. I think they've made some signings that didn't work out. They've let some of those players leave and haven't necessarily refilled those positions, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Whereas I think United this year went from a position of strength, because I think they looked better last year, specifically in the second half, and improved upon that. I don't think in any way they've gotten worse. I think Onana is better than David De Gea. I think bringing in Mount is better than Eriksen. Like, I think they've made incremental improvements. Yeah. I don't think they've made dramatic improvements. They're another team that needs a nine. This is a trend, apparently. But it's like
very hard to find a nine. Not everyone has a fucking
There's not many
Holland.
Left. Yeah, there's not many. There's not. I mean, that's the reality of it. Yeah. So that's why.
All right. I have a feeling that we're going to be flip-flopped again with our next two picks.
Who do you have? Do you want me to say?
Go ahead.
So I, for your sake, I wanted to pick Arsenal.
It's so funny that you literally want Arsenal to win the league. I know that you do.
Because I feel for you after doing this podcast and knowing you. I do want you to get... Maybe you should get like the FA Cup so I can still have the league.
I don't want the fucking FA Cup. I've had the FA Cup.
But like, my thing is, I generally don't think I can pick them. I feel disrespectful to City, not even because I'm a City fan. Like, I think it's disrespectful to not pick them to win when all they have shown is that when the rubber meets the road at the end of the year, they will go on a 10 to 15 game winning streak and will win the league. Mm-hmm. They will make the other team not choke. Here's the thing. City are going to lose games at the beginning of the year. It's going to happen. They're going to lose to probably Spurs. They'll probably lose to like Sheffield or Luton. Like one of those games, they'll find their way to lose. Them. You know what I mean? Like it happens every year at the beginning of the year, usually the game before an international break. Mm-hmm. So I have to be pissed off all international break. But at the end, they find a way to win. I do think this is a great opportunity for Arsenal because I don't think City necessarily have gotten better. I think, like I said, I think Guardiola is a generational talent. I think in next year, 2 years, he's going to be right up there with anybody, and I think it's a great signing. But I don't know if he necessarily makes City that much better right now. Whereas losing Gundogan makes them worse. Losing Mahrez makes them worse.
Right.
So, and Arsenal have undoubtedly, in my opinion, gotten better.
Right.
At a minimum, they got depth.
Yeah.
So I think Arsenal are better than they were last year, and I think City are probably slightly worse. So I think Arsenal have a great chance, but I'm going to roll with City to still win it.
That's fair. I think everything you said is very close to what I'm going to say and what I'm thinking. the reason I'm picking Arsenal is obviously because I am a fan, but I think they've gotten exponentially better. I don't think they've gotten incrementally better. I think Declan Rice is exponentially better than Granit Xhaka, mm-hmm. who last year had a phenomenal season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Kai Havertz is a phenomenal depth signing. I think figuring out how to really use Leandro Trossard and Gabriel Martinelli. Mm-hmm. I think Nketiah is a lot better than a lot of people think. And I think another great person to be able to bring in off the bench when Gabriel Jesus is inevitably injured. By the way, we still have Zinchenko, who never plays. We still have Gabriel Jesus, who never plays. And when they do, Arsenal soar. They look phenomenal.
They're great players.
Timber, who you think is going to be the signing of the season, who many people think is going to be. I mean, I think they've gotten so much better. Aaron Ramsdale needed competition. He's getting that. I think this is the chance. Last year was the chance, mm-hmm. but it was unexpected.
Yeah.
This year, they know that they can do it, and I think they're going to play every game like that, saying, this is our year. City have taken a step back, at least on paper. This is the time, if there's ever one.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's clear as day that I think City has taken a step back. City don't have fullbacks. Like, it's very weird to point out. They have no wingers.
Kyle Walker will be.
They have Kyle Walker. And Rico Lewis... who I like Rico Lewis. I think he's good. Very, very good, for especially 19 years old, 18 years old, however old he is. He's phenomenal, but he probably is the second best fullback on the team right now because I don't rate Gomez very highly. I think Gomez is more of a winger than anything else. Yep. And then it's Jack Grealish is the only pure winger on the team. So they don't have fullbacks, they don't have wingers. They're very weirdly narrow. Mm-hmm. They're very going to go a very different approach, clearly. But, like, there's definitely depth missing on City. So if I'm going to criticize Liverpool and I'm going to criticize, you know, other teams for lacking depth, City lack depth. Like, they'll show and be like, oh, this bench costs because Guardiola will be on the bench. Like, this bench costs $500 million. And it's like, yeah, because, like, the two of those players, it'll be like one day when Grealish and mm-hmm. Guardiola are both on the bench. Right. And it'll be like, okay, yeah, it costs so much. But you're going to see Palmer, unless he's loaned, probably Bob, Rico Lewis and Gomez as four of the subs. And like, do those instill fear in you, Michael?
No.
Granted,
no.
The way Cole Palmer scored that goal against Arsenal, maybe.
I know.
But I think this could be a very, very good title race. I hope it is. I thought it was very exciting last year. I just think that for Arsenal, I think it is very important they get out to a good start, especially because, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if City don't. Mm-hmm. So Arsenal could have the chance again to have that lead, and then.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a long road. 38 game season is incredibly difficult to sustain, but with depth, I think you have a great chance to do it. And I think right now Arsenal have, I would say, the best bench in the league. By the way, Emile Smith Rowe, Arsenal's number 10, back this year finally, and in preseason only small glimpses. But, like, what a phenomenal player he was only mm-hmm. 2 years ago when mm-hmm. he was fully healthy. So much to be excited about for Arsenal. And I really am excited and can't wait for the season to start, especially after that Community Shield victory. Manager of the season, I'm going to go Arteta, just obviously.
So I should just go Pep. But can I just go... This is just a hope. Vincent Kompany, please. Yeah. I say Burnley makes it mid-table, give it to Kompany.
And before we get into the matches of the weekend, first weekend of the season, I want to give honorable mention to Brighton, who I think will be right up there challenging with the European spots and might actually take one. It's so hard because they're potentially losing McAllister. I mean, they've lost McAllister and potentially Caicedo. But De Zerbi ball.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible.
No, I think it's great. I worry about the losses being too much for them to take. Mm-hmm. I think it's big if they hold on to Matoma, which looks like they're going to. I think that's big. That's somebody, if you're the winger, so you go for it. I'd like him. That'd be fine. But I think they will be good. I just question, I think losing some of those players are going to be really tough to replace. But we'll see. I mean, I do love the way they play. I love the way they play. I think it shows teams that you can be that style of play, even without being, you know, the Uniteds, the Liverpools, the City's, Arsenals, like you can still play that way, mm-hmm. which I think is great for the league. So
100%.
I'm all for it.
100%. And actually, before we get to the matches, two questions on Twitter. One from our friend Danny, old Danny, the Leeds fan. Do you miss Leeds? Not after last year. Last year, they made a mockery of us Americans.
Yeah. It was tough to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just tough to watch.
They did Jesse Marsh dirty.
Jesse did himself dirty a little bit, too, I will say.
He sure did.
But I will say, considering what they proceeded to do after they got rid of him, first of all, they should have just let him go sooner. But at that point, they should have just stuck with him the way they did. I think they would have been better off than where they ended up. But I really wish you guys had sold Tyler Adams to somebody besides Chelsea.
I know. Well, at least we'll probably get to see him play a little bit at Chelsea. I mean, I think we will, at least.
I honestly, maybe.
They have a million players, who knows?
They have so many players. For all we know, he could never play or he could start every game. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
And then our friend Tyler, fellow Arsenal fan, he said, how many points does Arsenal win the league title by this year? I'll say genuinely, two.
Two?
Two. I think it is going to be an incredibly awful, stressful year that is going to end in such joy. I'm calling it now. 2024 is my year, Jimmy.
2024 is your year.
It's my year.
It's your year.
It's my year. I'm going to get married and Arsenal are going to win they're going to win the league and maybe the Champions League. We'll see your treble and we'll raise you a treble plus the community shield.
I'm just excited to see it. I didn't even get to say City won the Champions League. I'm happy at this point. I no longer have
done.
To
You're
see.
You're like Thanos. You snapped your finger.
I got what I wanted. I'm happy. It was a very stressful game, that Champions League final. Jesus Christ. So I'm happy now. I got what I wanted. That's what I wanted. I got it. Because this could be the last year of Pep, too.
Fingers crossed. Get that guy out of the
league. Maybe that's why we haven't seen a lot of signings. Maybe people don't want to commit when they're not going to know who's the manager. I don't know.
That is true. Interesting stuff.
We'll see.
Speaking of Pep Fraudiola, we start the league off tomorrow at 3 p.m. Burnley at home versus Manchester City. Jimmy, what is your prediction?
3-1 City.
Ooh.
Sorry, Vincent.
1-1. 1-1. We're starting the season off right with a Man City draw. They can't recover from the gaping wound of the Community Shield. They go to Burnley and they draw against Vincent Kompany's mighty, mighty Burnley. And then we go Saturday to Arsenal, 7:30 a.m. at home versus Nottingham Forest. What do you got, Jimmy?
Do I go with Matt Turner's Nottingham Forest?
Matt Turner. Mighty Matt Turner.
I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
I'll go 3-1 Arsenal. I think the only thing that's leaving me with some concern for Arsenal this year is that back line. They looked great against City, I will say. But just from some preseason, I know that they're still capable of making terrible mistakes. And I'm sure we'll see one against Forest on Saturday morning. But 3-1 Arsenal, Bukayo Saka, brace. Lock it in. Then we have Bournemouth and West Ham.
I'm going to go 1-0 West Ham.
Ooh. By the way, Bournemouth might be a good shout for relegation. Forgot funny. All about them. I'm going to go 1-1. I think that's a draw. I think Bournemouth can get a draw at home. Then also at 10 a.m. Saturday, Brighton versus Luton.
I am going to go Brighton 2-0. I don't see Luton being able to get this one.
I'll follow you on that 2-0. Everton versus Fulham.
Fulham 2-1.
Everton are at home. I'm going to go 1-0 Everton. Sheffield United versus Crystal Palace.
2-1 Sheffield.
Ooh, Palace are an interesting team this year, too. Lost Zaha, could be. I don't think they're going to lose Olise, but they could. I think this is, I don't know, this home field advantage on the first week of the season. I'm going 2-1 Sheffield. Newcastle at home versus Villa. Very good game.
That is a very good game. That's one I'd like to see. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going 1-1 on that.
I think they played in preseason and it ended up being like 3-2 or something like that. I'm going to go fun. I'm going to go 2-2. I think it's going to be an exciting match. And then on Sunday, we have Brentford and Tottenham at 9 a.m. Yes, Jimmy.
I know what you're doing.
Yes, Jimmy.
I
know what you're doing, too.
I'm doing 1-0 Brentford.
Yeah, I knew it. 2-1 Brentford. I really think this is going to be a bad year for Spurs. Like, not just I hope that. I actually think that's going to happen. And then Chelsea and Liverpool. I feel like Chelsea and Liverpool are always, like, early season. They clash.
And what do they do every single time?
Oh, no.
They draw.
You're
this
right.
is a patented 1-1.
That's a, you know what? Lock of the week, gambling-wise, I might get back on just to
just for the
log
draw.
In a 1-1 draw, Liverpool-Chelsea. Jimmy, that's the smartest thing you've ever said. That's 100% the score. Lock that in. And then last game of the week on Monday, we have Manchester United and relegation favorites for Jimmy, Wolves.
So this is like another patented thing. Every year, Manchester United, what do? They come flying out the gates, with the exception of last year. last year was very bad. But usually they come flying out at the beginning, and all the United fans are like, oh, they start chirping. Mm-hmm. 4-0 United.
Ooh.
I don't think Wolves have a manager yet. I'm pretty sure they don't.
They don't. So they just fired Lopetegui.
4-0 United. Beat down.
2-0 United. I don't know who could score a goal for Wolves. I don't know who could defend a goal for Wolves, honestly. Yeah, I'll go 2-0 United. But Jimmy, I hope that we're not as sparse with our recordings this year.
Yes.
We got to try and do at minimum one a month.
Yes.
Hopefully every other week.
Every other week, I think, would keep us consistent. I think we can make that work.
I think so, too. And I just want to thank anyone who is still listening at this point.
Yes.
I mean, kind of incredible. This is year 4 or 5.
5, 6. I don't know. It's been a while. It's got to be at least 5 because we've done 2 World Cups.
Wow.
Right? Because we started with the other World Cup. So this is going to be year 5?
2018?
Yeah, right.
2018 World Cup is when we started. Wow.
Right?
That's incredible, Jimmy. Well, we should be back before you're wed.
Yes, yeah. We'll definitely be back at least once before then.
All right. So Jimmy's still an eligible bachelor if anyone wants to try and steal him away. Oh, Jen's not going to listen to this. It's fine.
That's so, she'll love it. Zero chance.
No one's still listening at this point.
Not that anybody I was going to say is still listening at this point, but I guarantee you it's not her.
If you're listening, send us a DM and tell Jimmy how you're going to sweep him off his feet. But anyways, thank you so much for sticking with us. We hope you'll continue to listen. We hope you'll share the show.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't. No one should be exposed to this. But thank you so much.
If you have people you don't like, maybe, I don't know, just stop spamming them.
Spam them with the Mostly Soccer Podcast.
It could be like the new Rickroll.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time. Go Arsenal.
Bye-bye.